listening? It is I, Numator479. According to our studies of your puny mammalian race, we discovered you like very good coffee. And while it is our evolutionary purpose to cause you psychic torment, we want you awake and vivacious to give it. So try our new blend from Spring Hill Jack Coffee, Reptilian in the Morning. Our proprietary blend of lightly roasted cacao husks will have you immediately energized upon emerging from the pain cloaca with all your slippery new eggs. Thanks, honey. Hot, I'm cold-blooded. Thanks to Spring Hill Jack and Last Podcast on the Left, I'm ready to get out there and eat some babies. Get out of the way, Hillary Clinton!
There's no place to escape to.
This is the Last Podcast on the Left.
Side stories?
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories, yeah.
It's very, very, it's very strange because it's also about like how the Trump was an outsider. Like everyone got mad in the books because he became president, but he was never a politician, but he fixed everything by fixing the economy. And it doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah.
But it's also like, it's just all like very familiar.
Yeah. And, but it, they've been probably not paying attention to like in the end, like this person becomes the last president of the United States and the entire thing collapses.
Yes.
Cool.
But that he fixes everything. And we don't need another president.
Oh.
He's fixing everything, so now he's permanent.
So what is replaced? Who runs the country afterwards?
Honestly, I think it's just fucking Obamacare. That's it.
Welcome to Side Stories.
Oh, that's how we started?
Maybe it's how we start. Do you want to start with like that?
It's interesting. No one heard my run-up about this series of coincidences about an ancient book written about a character named Baron Trump who happened to get Nikola Tesla's time machine. It's a long story. We're going to have to break this down. Trump. It's a weird connection to the Trump family, to Nikola Tesla's fucking research legacy. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely real.
Any mentions of the book about this Baron Trump being a 6'7" goon?
I didn't see the cover. I didn't see the cover. Who knows? Because, I mean, you see him? You see Baron Trump?
He's massive.
He's big.
He's huge.
He's fucking, did you see him? Like, he has to like carry his dad now and shit. He's a big guy. He's going to kill a nurse. I'm so afraid of what this guy's going to do. God knows. Especially if he's not being watched.
Exactly.
He needs to be watched 24/7. I guess that's what Melania's doing.
I'm Marcus Parks, and Henry Zebrowski coming out with the hot future predictions.
You never know.
About who Baron Trump is going
to
murder.
Well, it just reminded me of the Uber driver that did tell me that Donald Trump had access to, he found that there was time traveling goggles. This is completely real. This was told to me in an Uber, which I was like, oh, great, you're driving?
Yeah.
And he said, in the basement of the White House, there was a secret technology that Donald Trump defied the secret industry against, right? He went against the intelligence committees and he said, no, I got to go look at this. And it was time traveling goggles so that he could see into the future about how great a president he was going to be. Isn't that great? While he was president. And meanwhile, like, you should have been engaged in the present. President Trump. We have a lot of information that came in, a lot of pushbacks, but also a lot of reconfirmations. It's very interesting.
And I'll take the pushbacks. Like, do we want to start with the pushbacks? Well, because I kind of feel like I need to address these people because I feel like I've offended many, many structural engineers
you
and
did.
Geologists.
Marcus obviously fell in love.
I did not fall in love.
Fell in love.
I might have become enamored with the concept of digging in your own yard, digging in your own property. I became enamored with the concept.
I know you love this idea, the tunnel lady.
Yeah.
Her account was called the TikTok tunneling lady, known as engineer.everything on TikTok, has garnered a lot of attention and a lot of appreciation because people love her can-do attitude. She wears pearls. She wears like 1950s dresses. She looks immaculate and she's digging this giant tunnel underneath her home. And she's being stopped by the state because there is no regulations happening while she's building a tunnel underneath a very populous city.
And it seems like that this was stopped for very good reasons.
Very much so. Because it's a topic known as hobby tunneling.
Yeah.
Which I do. We talked about this last episode about freedoms.
Yeah.
We love freedoms. We want you to be able to express yourself. I, too, wish I want to be able to tunnel anywhere I want to go.
I do, too.
I feel that the Earth, we, you know, once again, the government's proving Pocahontas was wrong. But I do feel because the United States government technically owns the land of the core that is underneath your home.
They own the mantle?
Do you know that?
I know that mineral.
They got that.
They don't have, and maybe in cities, but way out where.
But people do sometimes buy the rights to underneath your house.
Yeah, it's called mineral rights.
Yes, and then, but then they own it down to the lava, right? Because then it depends on how deep you go.
Ain't that weird?
It's really weird. So I feel like you should be able to tunnel through it, but apparently what it really does is destabilizes an entire city neighborhood. Because we got some pushback because obviously Marcus fell in love with the lady.
I didn't fall in love with the lady. I became enamored with the concept of tunnel digging.
I heard it in your voice.
You didn't hear anything. You heard me be very excited about digging, which we all know is one of my favorite things in the world.
But ever since we talked about Marcus's erotic obsession with this woman,
my enamor with the concept.
I understand.
My wife is going to fucking rip your throat out.
I am sorry, Carolina. I'm sorry. It's
she listens
like this
to the show every week.
Well, she's keep tabs on you.
She's listening. She's working out right now and just becoming mad.
She needs to report the tunneling lady and get her stuff taken down. No, it's I understand. Okay, we all want to dig tunnels, but I got a lot of people saying, number one, people are obviously straight up, which is kind of insulting. One email. Well, I'm not shocked that Tunnel Girl has charmed Marcus. I do feel like I should probably call out how absolutely wrong you guys are about her project. And sure, they go on to talk about they working in construction and about how, like, all the various things she completely fucked up because she was in the middle of a city. She lives on a quarter acre, which means a cave-in would reliably harm her neighbors. Her neighbors are also people that were hesitant because some of them were immigrants. Sure. They were hesitant to come to the government and talk about what the hell was going on next door. All right, she didn't do any soil analysis, which is interesting. She doesn't know how structurally sound her tunnel actually is. She has actively dumped the sludge from wet drilling back into the water table, which is at minimum an EPA violation.
That's
the villains from Ghostbusters.
That's a bad idea. No, I mean, I would imagine that the soil, if she's working in very like clay rich soil, then that's going to be a good thing to tunnel because it's much structurally stronger soil.
No idea.
Than say like a sandy soil.
Why is that though? Why would that be?
Because
it's good clay though.
It's denser.
I don't know.
Yeah, I do.
But this is why we can't tunnel. This is why you need to have soil analysis. And people go, but they're also saying that the structures were completely fucked up. But also with this story, we got many stories of people tunneling. Hobby tunneling is big. And people that have lived their whole lives, like this one story about the moleman of, it's in Hackney, the moleman of Hackney in London. It was by the name of William Little. He dug a series of interconnected tunnels underneath his London home. And a lot of people got mad at that because it was London. It was the center of a giant city. And he just got it in his head that he wanted to start digging. I gotta start digging, right? He dug out this series of tunnels. I think they said it was 65 different tunnels that led from his house out into the rest of the city.
Yeah, as deep as 26 feet.
I mean, which is crazy.
Yeah.
It's great. And it does, again, it's fun. It sounds like the fucking Burbs, but they said that the neighbors complained that the ground would shake. Because, again, he's fracking his own house. We did this last time. He's destroying the structural integrity of the earth itself underneath the home. And then they said he hit a power line and he took out the entire neighborhood's power, which is also hilarious. And the guy does look like a mole man.
He absolutely looks like a mole man. He inherited this house in like 2006, I think.
Well, no, 2006 is when they stopped him.
He was
finally
evicted in 2006, but he spent many, many years. He spent 40 years, actually. He inherited this thing in the 60s.
Ding, 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 ding. That's a lot of tunneling.
From 1966. Like, can you imagine that? Ding, you're ding, in ding, London, ding. 1966.
Oh, yeah.
One of the
yeah, baby, yeah. You got in the mold on that? Oh, Twiggy.
Yeah.
Twiggy was there. She would have slid right through those tunnels.
One of the hippest, coolest times in the 20th century.
Oh, yeah.
And places. And you're digging a tunnel.
You just don't care.
You're tunnel man.
You could have been down in Soho.
You're going underneath.
You could have met the entire collection of the Sex Pistols and their accoutrements.
That was 10 years later.
fucking say it. You could have met them when they were children. And you could have been like, Sid, you need to be responsible. Yeah. They said you need maybe go to school there, Sid. What's his real name?
His real name is...
It's like Esther, right? Or like Reginald's.
Oh, no. It's a Sidney's the name of his hamster. His real name is... don't tell me. It is
Gordon?
John Ritchie.
Oh, all right. That sounds
British.
His name
is John Ritchie.
Yeah, good. Well, good. But they got rid of him. And now some artists, some big fancy pants.
John Simon Ritchie.
That's what William Little could have been doing, but he didn't. Yeah. He dug underneath the ground because he was unfuckable. And he had these, he needed a better shirt. I was looking at this. He really did need different clothes. They did end up putting him in jail because they fined him hundreds of thousands of pounds that he could not pay.
Yeah.
And then apparently, though, they actually, for a while, he tried to break back into the house and they couldn't. The government took it. But actually, I'm incorrect. He was not in jail. They just put him in an apartment and paid for it. That's incredible.
They have different ways of doing things out there.
It's nice because he obviously was going to, wherever he's going, he's tunneling. Right? So you got to put him in a place where he can't get to the basement.
Can't put him in jail.
No.
He's just going to tunnel out.
Tunnel out and everyone's going to follow right behind him. So you have to make sure where he is. It's extremely difficult for him to tunnel. Technically, he should just not be allowed to have a shovel or a pickaxe ever again.
Yeah, of course.
And I think, well, that could have been worse than death for him.
And now it's been, I actually found something that it's an interesting little phenomenon in England that I didn't know about. It's called air hunting. H-E-I-R, like air hunting.
That's what the Nazis did. And then
no, that's heirloom hunting. Air hunting is finding properties in which, you know, there's no known relative, you know, that for the property to be passed down to. So they go and find the heir. And show them, hey, this is your property. But a lot of times there's also like this, it can be a scam.
Sure.
Like, it could be like a middleman type thing. It's like, I found that you own this property, but if you only, all you have to do is give me $500 and I can facilitate that. So a lot of times it's a scam.
Yes.
But sometimes it's not. They even have like a TV show called Air Hunters where they go and they find people and say, you own a castle now.
You own a castle now. And you're just like, fuck, the taxes in this castle are going to fucking kill me. Yeah. Oh my God. The financial burden of my family. Get away from me, air hunters. It's very scary. But that's also, we do that with estate sales. And then our country, which is like, we are right on top of it, it's foreclosure sales.
Yeah.
So if you can't pay for it, then someone comes sneak your house out from underneath you at half the price.
And then it's theirs.
It's theirs then. And now you have nothing. Bye, legacy. But that was that. There was also, so tunneling is around. A lot of people are, it's mostly just, we talked about Virginia as if it was just rolling hills. This is back to the Tunnel Girl and Engineer Everything. And it's just because you have to be careful when you're in the city.
I'm going to give everybody, if anybody out there that's looking to do some like DIY tunneling, I'm going to read you one sentence from an email that we got that's just going to tell you that you, unless you are an engineer, unless you work specifically in construction, you're not going to teach yourself how to do this, because just listen to the amount of jargon there is in this sentence. The amount of blowout on the already compromised joints, which lack any sort of strong ties, will absolutely collapse at the most minor suggestion of burden after she hammers the ends of fiberglass rebar, terrible idea that sends stress fractures down the length of the rod, into the cobbled mix of sedimentary rock.
No idea.
She states that it's secured with grout.
We're fucked. That means you're fucked. That means you're about to be buried underneath thousands of pounds of rubble.
And I do know that if she's using grout, that's used for fucking holding tile to the wall.
Yes.
That's not going to offer any structural value.
And we got to be careful because I know we're coming against Girl Boss Nation.
Yeah.
But I know, and it's not that she, I'm glad she's a lady doing it. Because that's what they say, hobby tunneling is a mostly male endeavor.
Uh-huh.
But when it comes down to it, sometimes you got to get the government involved no matter what. You say to yourself, I wish it wasn't that way either. I wish there was never a regulation ever.
So you said freelance tunneling needed a little bit of girl boss?
That's
it?
What I go. I'm a strong nail and a man on him. She needs Sia in there.
Yeah.
That's what get her motivated to get the proper permits.
Get the proper permits. Unfortunately, you must get the proper permits. And if you don't get the proper permits, then just make sure that you do it out in the middle of nowhere. Make sure
no one can see it.
Where no one is anywhere near. Can be
Montana,
harmed by your tunnel.
Upper Washington, the Dakotas.
So much of Texas.
Alabama.
There's so many places. Go in the desert. It's easier to do. Sand.
Yeah. Buy yourself 7 acres. Get yourself a house and then do as much tunneling as you want.
Tunnel all day long.
Yeah. And then if you get buried in your tunnel and nobody finds you for weeks and weeks and
weeks. That's
your right.
You're allowed to do that.
You're absolutely allowed to do that. And hey, maybe you're going to find some oil.
Hey, who knows? You never know. Black gold, Texas tea. You find a bunch of corpses.
Yeah, that's what I wonder about the dude in London. It's like, because, you know, London is a city on top of a city on top of a city, you know? And they're still finding, like, Roman artifacts, like, Roman bathhouses and all kinds of shit when they do construction in London. And I'm wondering if he found anything just, like, fucking incredible. Like, did he find, like, bones of plague victims? Because I know those are everywhere in England.
I think he was a bit off his rocker.
Ah.
And he probably just threw that shit out. Because it's like, this dude named Motonu. What's she doing in it? This is where I live. I live underground's mine. It's not yours anymore, Romans.
Mm-hmm.
It's mine. And so he just probably threw it in the trash.
Probably.
Just being like, garbage. It's like tunnel. It's anything that's done ain't tunnel. And I'll make sure I make tunnel.
And that's tunnel.
That's tunnel, eh?
That's tunnel.
All right. I also got some pushback and support from our boys overseas about the jellyfish videos I was showed on this week's UFO, very serious UFO mandate.
Right.
And you obviously didn't take it very seriously, neither did Ed, but just because Ed's ignorant. And he doesn't know yet, but you know better.
I know UFOs. You know I know UFOs, and you know that I know UFO videos. The jellyfish videos, however...
You gotta listen.
I'm not sold on the jellyfish videos.
I'm gonna send you some videos. You gotta settle in. You gotta listen to the witnesses. But it's a really good information. So those of you that don't know, Jeremy Corbel and George Knapp on their Weaponized podcast, and a lot of people. This is a guy I said the joke on the stream, but it's true. It's the Sydney Sweeney of UFOs right now. Everybody's talking about it. It's hot to trot. Everybody's talking about the jellyfish UAP, and it kind of got broken on the Jeremy Corbel, George Knapp podcast Weaponized, where he showed a video of this jellyfish UFO that was seen over a U.S. military base, and it's creepy looking, and, you know. But a lot of people assume, you know, like, oh, you know, it looks maybe like balloons. I don't know if it looks like balloons because it's very stabilized and it's moving in kind of one cluster without like wiggling around.
Mm-hmm.
But I did get but obviously I was roasted. As soon as I showed the videos, I was roasted because they can't, because I understand it's vulnerable. Yeah. Being in here, being in my space, being here with me in here is vulnerable.
I appreciate being invited in. I do. But I'm also I'm a true friend, so always gonna tell you the truth.
All right, I'll take it.
I'm always gonna tell you the truth. I'm not gonna patronize you.
Thank you.
I'm always gonna treat you with respect.
But
but I'm not sold on the jellyfish.
All right, well, this is a response I got again from one of our boys overseas. I'm an active duty intelligence specialist, and I can confirm the jellyfish vid is legit. The video got passed around different MFE PED cells to see if anyone could figure out what it was, and everyone I've talked to can't figure it out. When Jeremy Corbell showed it, it was the first time I saw the video outside of SCIF. Couple interesting things I noticed as an analysis in this video.
Just fucking throwing out all these acronyms.
Yep.
ALB, CPT,
dude,
SCIF.
That's how this guy's fucking legit. All right?
This way. The more acronyms, the more true it is. Okay.
All right, here we go. A couple things I noticed as an analyst about the video. Number one, it's like an hour long, the original, including when it goes in the water. So they saw it go in the water. So this thing was tracked for a significant amount of mission time. Two, the texture changes on the IR sensor. Swish, swish, swish. The texture changes on the IR sensor considerably. So there's temperature fluctuations throughout the video.
IR being infrared?
Yes.
Could it possibly be the sun hitting the balloons?
I don't know. There's some minor changes in the physical shape of the object as it flies through the air, but not in the manner you'd see in something amorphous like a sheet or a bunch of balloons. Number four, if you look really close at the tentacles of the jellyfish, they seem rigid, like mechanical arms or an antennae array. Other than that, I have no clue what this thing is. I just know it came from a legitimate DOD asset and received a lot of attention. So it's interesting.
It is interesting. I mean, if I were to compare these creatures to anything, it has a very War of the Worlds feel to it.
Well, it's very, it's of the... Are these things an object that is intelligently piloted from far away, or is this another example of a thing that's the thing?
Or is it like bioelectronics?
Something.
Yeah.
That what you're seeing in a jellyfish UEP, or what we see with like orbs and stuff like that, is that there's not a little guy in there driving it.
Mm-hmm.
He's not doing that.
Uh-huh.
All right. But that it's the thing itself.
Right.
It's something.
Okay.
Or the idea of also had this, someone who was reading this the other day about this concept that, like, we are here in a dimensionality, in this dimensionality, or we're here in this dimension, but the shit that travels through, it's like they walk into a room at another place and then they're here, mm-hmm. but they're not physically here. It's like a mirror image of something from another dimension that's like popping into our dimension. It's like they walk into, they can explore us from there, wherever they're at.
Okay.
They can explore us easily without getting here because it's an interdimensional thing. We just don't understand.
Gotcha. So this could be something like the...
Well, you know,
we demand to be taken seriously.
What do you want from me? You want me to lie to you? You want me to be somebody else?
But you showed two jellyfish videos. One was the thermal imaging video
over the military base.
Over the military base, in which it's moving very, very quickly. It's moving very fast. And then you showed one in which
that one was not as good. The one from the Spanish documentary was not quite as good.
And let me say, it's the one in which the jellyfish is slowly floating through a neighborhood, through a parking lot.
Yes.
And is largely ignored by everything around it.
That's different. Yes.
Except for the automatic light that went on when it went by.
It's closer to balloons. Yes, I will admit it. But at the same time, is it not interesting that it looks just like the other fucking thing?
Looks similar.
It came out. It looks just like it. And it looks, and it came out, and it is very similar. So that's why I included it. Is that, like, these were entirely separate things.
Sure.
That when they were years apart. So that's why that one, the video I showed, was from 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it, it's the same object? You know, I find it interesting.
And that's the other thing that I wonder about, is that if it is a biological entity, why is it trucking so fast?
It's got a place to be.
Yeah, I guess so.
Maybe a haircut.
Is it?
Look at it. Right, obviously, it's a mess.
Yeah.
It needs to get a haircut. It needs to go get its, like, lines done.
Yeah. Do you think there's any sort of, like, truck to the theory that Earth is, like, kind of an interdimensional highway? That we are just, like, one stop on, like, basically we're a stop on a wormhole.
I feel like we all are. Aren't we? Every day is a winding road. That's what Sheryl Crow was talking about.
Yeah.
It's funny.
All of us are on an interdimensional highway.
That's it. Always. Every day, bro.
Every day.
Her, when she was banging Lance Armstrong.
Yeah.
She knew what was going on.
Forgot about that.
What did Sheryl Crow know about the juicing? But I find any theory that puts humans at the very center of it, like, egotistical.
I get that.
I feel like anything that's like, Earth's a special garden that every alien that's ever been wants to be here. Mm-hmm. I just think that we are conscious, and because of that, we experience these other things. And that maybe that they're still too. I get in my head, because we don't understand consciousness, and we know that it's some. We know we have clues that it's remote.
Yeah.
Is that maybe it's one of those things that all consciousness and things that experience and have consciousness, like, experience each other.
Right.
And that we are all, like, intrinsically tied remotely because we all are thinking creatures, and that maybe it's just kind of why we're like loosely tied, and that they show up back and forth because we are another pinion of reality making consciousness within the universe.
And it could be that in the past we were much more closely tied to that consciousness, and that we were able to see things
simpler organisms.
We were able to see things much. We were able to connect with those sorts of, you know, thoughts, beings, whatever.
And they were
everywhere. Yeah.
And that maybe as we've gotten more technologically advanced, or societies become more complicated,
electricity
and stuff like that. Like, what that does is sort of like focus us more here on these, quote unquote, my bills. Oh, I have to go to my dialysis. You know what I mean? And
I
not
know,
thinking about life. You know what I mean? As a whole, on a galactic scale.
I was watching this fucking great document, this BBC documentary series the other day. That was it's like the sequel to that book that we used for our Black Plague series, the Time Traveler's Guide to Medieval Europe.
Great book.
He wrote a sequel called The Time Traveler's Guide to Victorian Europe. And
I love it, because that other book was great.
Yeah, and he also made like a 3-part documentary series for BBC called The Time Traveler's Guide to Victorian Europe. And it's fucking great.
Ooh, I'll watch that.
You'll love it. But
that's good nerd shit.
The first episode is like, imagine you're a peasant and you go back. Man, I think that we have much more time to think and hang out.
I think you're right.
Then people did bad because it's like the way he describes it is just this never-ending struggle to survive. This never-ending struggle of just like always having to do one thing or another. Oh, but on the other hand, they did have time to things like, because if you were a peasant in Victorian England, you would be spending much of your time in a dark hut with only one window and no candles, no light.
And he's just delighted by it.
Because like, candles were highly expensive and something for the nobles. So you would spend much of your life in darkness.
That's one of those when everyone says like, oh my God, 2021, sex. And it's just been like, we're fine. You know what I mean? It used to be much worse.
If you were lucky, you would own two forks, a ladle, a pot, and maybe a cot to sit upon.
Oh my God,
you slept on an earthen floor.
Yeah, you mean like, does your studio apartment look good now? But now it is hard. Because
maybe they did have more time to think.
Maybe, you're just... What else do you do all day but ruminate? You just sit and wait for the coals to burn.
Once the sun goes down, and
that's
it. And you're also in this room, and it's like, and also the hut would be constantly filled with smoke because you have a concept.
Yes, you'd have to go outside. Yeah, and you'll look at the stars.
And you just have a little hole up top that lets all the smoke out. But I'd recommend, I think it's on like the BBC Select.
That's fascinating.
It's really, really fucking good.
But yeah, we don't want to go back.
He goes off on shit. I shouldn't talk about it. I promised I wouldn't.
No, you're fine. No, we're allowed to. Yeah, we got the mandate. We were told.
I know we got the mandate, but I promised I wouldn't.
Yeah, sure. But that is true. But we are, how do you say it, predisposed to be obsessed with shit. Because we talked about it during the Black Plague series, because as humans, it's all, in the book Sapiens, that keeps coming up. I know it's very hacky. I think a lot of people, it's like this thing that keeps coming up with a lot of people, but it's just fascinating because there was a line in a book that kind of like hit me. They were like, you know, the movement from foraging to society helped nothing. It was an absolute bulldozer to all animal and human life. But we can thank them, but no one can tell them. Like, you know, our modern society is built on the backs of all of these people who died bad in the switch from foraging to industrialization. Yeah. So we're just like, we get to go, thanks, you know, because we got this shit. You know what I mean? I got my cold brew. You know, a bunch of hats.
Yeah, I get to complain like, my monitors aren't right.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, we all get to complain about bullshit.
Yes.
But yeah, life was far, far harder. But, you know, as far as the, not being able to see the shit that we used to see, I still stand by my view that electricity has fucked up a lot of paranormal activity. And it's that fucking fear that I have that, you know, souls do leave the body.
And they get destroyed in the shredding machine of Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Technically, you're heading into... Be careful.
I'm not getting enough.
Gets into David Icke territory.
I'm not getting enough 5G territory. I'm not even talking about Wi-Fi. I'm just talking about the electricity that it's around us always.
It's about you going to heaven. Like you're like, oh, I finally know. You're just like blasted to hell. You didn't know.
Or you're just disintegrated. Your soul just disintegrates.
You were just about to see. You just saw like a paradise of your perfect world. You're about to go to,
and then you just caught in power. Power lines like a fucking kite.
Jellyfish UAP. Just like one of those. And that's what they are.
And that's what
they're
they
trying to be like, we never die. We get stuck here. That'd be incredible.
It would be.
Live from your grave.
All right.
Want to get some true crime?
No, I want to do...
Or let's do, you want to do this true crime or mystery?
Let's
okay,
do the
let's
mystery.
Do the mystery.
Now, this got sent in. This story first got sent in about a week and a half ago from... a listener that is, I'm not saying, I don't remember if they are just, they just were friendly or they know one of the people that are involved in this story. This is an how do you put it? Information's coming in.
Yeah.
We don't know a heck of a lot, but from what we do know, it's an extremely weird set of circumstances. And we don't really, I feel like there is an Occam's razor explanation that makes it like that it's entirely not fun.
Yeah.
We'll see where it goes. Now, I don't like how the New York Post immediately says it's Kansas City Chiefs fans. Because that does feel like a Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift style trying to get the Kansas City juice onto the story.
It might get a little bit of Kansas City juice into the story, but I think that having the Kansas City Chiefs fans in the headline.
Would it Patrick Mahomes? No. What did he know?
He was too busy winning.
He's good.
I know. He's the best. He wins too much.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Eventually, a fall will come.
Detroit.
We all this want the year. Detroit. We're I don't know how we got masculine here.
Yeah.
In the middle of this.
But I appreciate that because it says Kansas City Chiefs fans, you know, and it talks about the playoffs. And if you're a football fan, if you watch the games, then you know that the game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Miami Dolphins last weekend
was huge.
Well, it was cold.
Yes, it was very, very cold.
4 below with a 20 degree with a wind chill of -20.
Yeah, the Dolphins.
So immediately I know, yeah, the Dolphins couldn't use their fucking hands.
Yes. But
I immediately know, like, okay.
Super cold.
I know that it was right. Super cold that night.
All right, so here are the details. The bodies of David Harrington, 37, Ricky Johnson, 38, and Clayton McGeaney, 36, were found in a backyard of an unnamed man's house. They were not named the man because they're not yet giving him any criminal charges. We don't know where it's going to head to. But they came over to see the playoff game on January 7th. They went to go see with their buddy. They hung out. And as far as the guy who owns the house knows, they left the house that night, according to him. They were then found 2 days later. They sent a missing, but they wanted to do a welfare check because they were like, well, they went to go see the game and then they never came back. To the point where one of their loved ones broke into the house because they went to call the guy. The guy was not picking up the house. They were knocking on the fucking door. The guy wasn't answering the door. So they broke into the basement, and as they were breaking into the house, they discovered their three bodies of these men were frozen to death in the backyard. One was on the back porch. Two were laying down in the yard. And this is where it gets really fucking weird, because the guy then finally comes out. Apparently, like, they had been calling for weeks, trying to get the police involved. Finally, the police show up. They knock on the door because it takes 48 hours. I think it's 48 hours or it's 72 hours. I forget what it is that you have to wait.
I think it's taken down to four. I think it's kind of stopped. I think it's stopped for the most part. And I think it's also a state to state thing. And I think it's also a agency to agency thing. I think police officers can kind of use their discretion. It's not like a hard and fast rule.
Yes.
But I think they use their discretion where it's like
California has no specific time period before you wait.
Yeah, I think it's state to state.
Yes.
And also, like, if someone has a history of disappearing a lot, then it's like, okay, we'll wait 72 hours. But if somebody is like, okay, they come home every night at 8 o'clock, it's fucking 7 p.m. the next day, like, yeah,
the
cops will get involved.
Yes. So a guy comes out, and first of all, they said that he arrived, the police knock on the door, he opens up the door in his underpants and he had a glass of wine.
An empty glass of wine.
And he says, I don't know. These guys, you know, they came. They were all, like, apparently as thick as thieves. These are very, very close group of friends. And he says that we came, we partied. Last thing I know is I said goodbye to them because their cars were still there. Two cars were parked down the street, way on the street parking. There was no cars in the driveway. So there's no way to know out front that there were people inside the house. Mm. He says that he could not hear all the banging and the calling because he had his headphones on and there was a loud fan going at the same time. Now, that is the most fake thing I've heard, right? That's fake. But I don't know. Because I do know they got together. Big game for the Chiefs.
Huge.
Right? I could see getting hammered in the house, right? Maybe he doesn't want to say it because his buddies froze to death and he can't deal with it. But so he literally, like, just was gone, right? I know one time my father came home from work. And I'm not going to say, I don't know if he had drank. He had a long night that he had worked. We, as a family, were locked out of the house in the pool. Like me, my sister, he came in, he said hi to us, and he went upstairs to go to sleep. He closed the back door, didn't understand he had locked the back door. We were stuck back there to the point where my mom had to jump, that we were knocking, bump, screaming. He couldn't hear nothing, right? He was just dead to the world. So my mom had to climb the fence to our neighbor's house. Went over to where the fireman's house was, right down the street. Got a big fireman's ladder. Had it put up against the back of the house. This is completely real. Climbed up to the second floor where my dad was asleep and pounded on the window right next to where my father was sleeping, to which he answered by pulling out his gun and literally opening up the door and pulling his gun out. And our neighbor was like, no, 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 no. As we were all like, Daddy, don't shoot him, Daddy. Like down with it. And it was really funny at the afterwards. But you know, you can be dead asleep, maybe a little inebriated and you don't know. But what I find weird of all of this shit, no sign from these three guys trying to get in the house. No, they didn't try to, they weren't freezing nothing. They didn't wake up. Like they didn't try to get in, right? They either fell where they stood. Now that's why the families of the dead people are now saying straight up, like, no one's investigating this properly. No one is, because they're basically right now, the cops have doubled down and said they have frozen to death. We don't see any outward signs of anything untoward in terms of a homicide. They're just calling it a death investigation because, and I don't know why. I don't know whether or not it's because if they were poisoned, we would have some more of evidence of that. Like you would maybe see some frozen vomit. Maybe there's like physical signs of distress that would have been more apparent if they were poisoned. I'm not sure, but it's really fucking crazy to think that you would be that cold. Like, let's say you did get locked out in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
You could have went anywhere. Like, you could have walked away. Like, how drunk were you? Like, to the point where you would stumble out and just pass out onto the into the backyard. That's crazy to me, too. Like, you're Kansas City local. You know it's super cold. Who's going out there to do that? Like when do you get trapped? And then, like, let's say that then happened. So your buddies go out there and they freeze to death and they don't do anything to save themselves. And then I guess you wake up and you see it. Because the one thing about the guy who owned the house is he had a bunch of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like trying to let him out. Like you would have let the dogs out at some point. And then you would have seen your buddies frozen, like in True Detective.
Yeah.
Which is fucking scary as fuck.
What if he walks the dogs out front?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Very possible.
Yeah.
But they, like, I don't know whether or not there's a ring cam. This is all the kind of stuff we're going to find out, like, as more evidence comes. But that's what I find really interesting. I know that hypothermia can come fast.
May I give an explanation? My possible explanation?
This is the Occam's razor.
I'm trying to Occam's razor this a little bit. So, first of all, Kansas City's average winter temperature in January is high of 39, low of 21.
Ooh.
Not that cold. I mean, that's
pretty cold.
I mean, that's pretty standard, like Texas.
That's cold,
you know, like
for me.
Where I grew up, 39, 21. That's pretty standard. The types of cold that they had, that shit happens like once a decade. Like it's very rare.
But probably going to happen more often now.
Yeah, it's going to happen a lot more often now. Yeah, it's going to happen every winter. But it's -4 degrees. And with the wind chill in Kansas City that night, it was -20.
Shit.
And in those temperatures, like people in the Midwest, like people in Wisconsin, all that, like they take that shit seriously because you can, in temperatures that low, you can die going out and getting your mail. Like if you're not dressed properly, if you don't have the right, if you don't take the right precautions, you can die in that type of temperature very quickly. That's number one. They're not used to it. They don't know how dangerous it is. And it's nighttime. Number two, big
game. They're drunk.
They're drunk. And the thing is about drinking is that drinking gives you the illusion
of being warm
when in fact your body temperature is lower.
Yes. It says it takes about 20 minutes. Well, yeah. Really, okay. Hypothermia can develop in as little as 5 minutes in temperatures of -50. I mean, if you're not dressed properly. At 30 below zero, hypothermia can set in about 10 minutes. And we don't know how well they were dressed.
We don't. But I would imagine that they're probably not going to be wearing like Mount Everest clothing.
No. Yeah, they're not. It's interesting.
And so for me, it's quite possible that these guys, their buddy passes out on the couch, passes out dead cold.
But they were outside on the grass.
They go outside for a smoke. You know, maybe to smoke a joint, maybe to smoke a cigarette, something like that. The door locks behind them. They're trying to get in. They're knocking. Their keys might be inside in their jacket pocket. They don't have the keys to their car.
This is a brand new interview with the guy that had the house. I actually just found this. The fact that his friend's cars were still outside. He'd only learned that they died when the fiance of one of them broke into his house, according to the man. He says that he thought that maybe they returned while he was asleep to hang out in the living room. Maybe they didn't want to go to a bar or hang out somewhere else. And he said he worked from home with his two dogs. His two dogs were at his father's house, so they weren't there. For 2 days, the families of the victims say they bombarded Willis with phone calls and Facebook messages. But he says it's the last thing he saw at the very end was he was just them breaking into the house.
Yeah.
But we have not, yeah. Because his attorney is the guy who owned the house is straight up saying, I did not have anything to do with this. Of course.
Yeah.
He's trying to figure out what to do because I don't know if he did. I don't think that he did. I think that, but we're going to find out everything once they do the autopsies on the bodies.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll see if there's any sort of poison or anything like that. But I really do think they got locked out and they couldn't, and they got locked out.
Why would they not have broken in the fucking windows? Literally. Why wouldn't they not have? If you know, you're going to freeze to death.
But I don't know if you know. Like, I don't know if you know you're going to freeze to death.
I don't know.
Yeah. And I don't, and how, and that's the thing is how drunk are they?
I mean, I don't know. And it's playoff drunk.
Yeah. It's
seriously,
like,
playoff drunk.
It's playoff drunk.
But I will find out. We will definitely find out. There is now a GoFundMe for one of the funerals, which is really, really
and
sad.
And my heart goes out to the family.
Utterly.
Like, I'm not saying that, you know, that their grief or their incredulousness about all this is like, it's stupid or anything like that.
Not.
Like, you want to know what the fuck happened.
Of course.
You absolutely want to know what happened.
Well, simply the fact that it happened so quickly, and these are people that have lived their whole lives in a temperature they're going to get cold. You know what I mean? Like in a place that has a hardcore winter. Mm-hmm. And the fact that like the guy didn't answer the door for 2 days is super weird.
Yeah.
And the fact that they just, it's just the way their bodies were found and that they did not even attempt to break back into the house. Yeah. Because how drunk do you get? These are guys that go see football every week with their buddies.
Maybe they also were really high. They might have gone out. They might have gone out back to smoke a joint.
Who knows?
I mean, that's because you ask, you know, because when you're at these sorts of things, you're at somebody's house.
Does everybody pass out at the same time?
Well, that's the thing is that
does everyone literally go? You don't.
The guys were found in different places.
No, two of them were standing. Were laying next to each other in the field.
Maybe they were laying down to look at the stars.
What is this? Is this the end of a Wes Anderson film?
They might have. I mean, they might
have. Have you and I, have we ever, at the end of a night of drinking, even back in the day, ever sat and laid in negative 20 temperatures?
No.
To look at the stars?
We only ever got drunk in bars and apartments in Brooklyn.
But I'm just saying.
Queens.
Have you sat with another man and laid down with him in a field to look at the stars like you were both in Fievel?
When I was younger, yeah.
When?
Like when I was in high school, college, you're out there.
But that's different.
Yeah.
These are 39-year-old men.
Sometimes the magic just don't go away.
No, bro.
Sometimes the wonder just don't go away.
You know what I know about being 39? It sucks to lay on the fucking ground. That's what I know. It hurts your back.
I don't know. They might have gotten stoned and had a moment of joy that ended up in their death.
Absolute garbage. That's why you never do that.
I don't know what, but okay. So that's the Occam's razor explanation is that they went outside, the door locked behind them, and the cold overtook them before they were able to do anything about it.
Yes.
That's the Occam's razor explanation.
Yeah.
Your explanation.
The Wendigo. It's that easy. Wendigo came to Kansas City.
The Kansas City Wendigo.
He came to see the hubbub about. Again, Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, Blake Lively was there. They all want to see her.
They all want to see Patrick Mahomes.
If it happened to the three of them, that would have been interesting. The Wendigo came for Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce. And obviously it would do the horrendous effects to the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line.
Yeah.
But at the same time, fucking Blake Lively. Mysteriously frozen to death. That's your show. That's fucking awesome. You know what
okay,
I mean?
I'd love to show. See.
Right?
I'd watch that
what show. Happened to Blake Lively?
What happened to Blake Lively? Whatever in the world happened to Blake Lively?
She's a popsicle now. And, you know, America's sweetheart. Now she's a fucking fudgicle.
I didn't even know. I thought Blake Lively was a country music star.
It's all the same.
I thought it was a man who sang
Ryan,
country music.
No. No.
No?
That's a woman.
Blake Lively, huh?
It's Ryan Reynolds. Right? Wife? Right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's beautiful. But Blake Lively sounds like a man with an acoustic guitar wearing a hat talking about red solo cups.
I hate to disappoint you. It's a mediocre actress. What? Blake Shelton is who you're thinking
Blake,
of.
I'm thinking of Blake Shelton.
But that's not Blake Shelton to me. That's Gwen Stefani's husband.
That's right. Cheater.
How dare you? I knew you bring that up.
The blind items.
How much time has to pass?
Or am I thinking about Gavin?
They're all bad.
Oh, when's Gwen going to get hers? When's Gwen going to get her prince?
When is she? Well, she's now they're happily married.
Okay.
They seem to be doing well. I'm looking for holes in that all the time, though.
Live from your grave.
You want? Let's do which one of these true crimeys you want. All right. Well, before we do. So now. We're going to wait. More information is going to come in. We're going to find out more about the story. I'm going to keep up on it.
Yeah, we're going to keep up on the story. We absolutely have to keep up on it. And I know we got a little thing common as far as, like, you know, updates on stories. We got a little thing common, you know, a new project in which we're going to revisit some stuff. But goddamn, I want to talk about Natalia Grace so badly.
I know. We're going to get into Natalia Grace.
I just want everybody to know that, like, we're going to get into it. We're going to talk
about
it.
We're going to do a big blown out thing on it.
A lot of opinions.
Because she talks like the daughter from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. You know what I mean? Like, but she's very, I feel extremely bad. I issued my broad apology already to Natalia Grace, but there's a lot of shit going on in there.
There's so much shit going on.
And we're going to cover that because, you know, because as soon as you re-age somebody, you can't take it back.
Yeah.
It's so, because the government has decided already. Isn't that fucking crazy? That's one of those things about, like, everybody makes fun of me maybe about the idea of, like, you know, realities, perception, do the shit. But you see this, like, hyper abstract concept of the government can tell you how old you are.
Yeah.
And then boom, you're that age legally. Nothing else you do, nothing, whatever you do, you can't take it back because the government decided you're this age. If that's not fucking a magic ritual, I don't know what it is.
But you know what's good about that? Early Social Security benefits.
Yeah. Because they've always been famously generous.
Bright side. That's me.
Yep. Always. Yeah, heading towards retirement. Think about Natalia. Retirement's coming up. All right. Re-age me.
You get that 10 years early.
We should re-age us.
To
65.
I want to be 53.
Why?
I don't know. Sounds nice.
I feel like
sounds like a peaceful age.
I feel like we get re-sexy in our 50s.
I feel like that too.
Right? 40s are kind of whatever. I think it's fun to be 40.
Yeah.
I mean, when you get back in your 50s, you're going to be like, people are going to be like, ooh, oh, wow.
Man, look at him.
You know what I mean?
Take a second look at that guy.
By your third divorce, right? And then you have braces, real braces.
Oh, you're fucking just making me William H. Macy. That's all
I
you're
have
doing.
So much love to give. All right, let's do the boy man in the box.
All right, the man in the box. A woman was charged with murder after the body of her son is discovered in a wooden box behind a false wall.
This is a hardcore bitch. This woman is mean.
According to a statement from the Gulfport Police Department on Facebook Sunday, and that's fucking horrible.
Yep.
Jerry Lynn Roby, 66, who also goes by the last name Israel. was arrested on Saturday and charged with one count of first-degree murder. Police said they found the body of John Allen Gaither, 42, in a wooden box behind a false wall in her Gulfport home.
Oh, yeah. It was hidden by the idea of a false wall. We've been talking about this. I want it real bad.
Yeah, I've been talking about it a lot lately.
I really want one, but I know that, you know, you shouldn't put your son in it. This woman. And him. We don't really know what happened. And this woman is not the only murder to this woman. So they went looking for the son. The missing persons report came in. Couldn't find him. Is it like, oh, you know, she was just like, as they were talking to her, she became more and more uncooperative. They then learned that Roby had previously been arrested and convicted of murder in Florida in 1995. Where she had, quote unquote, subsequently made several attempts to dump the deceased subjects at different locations throughout Florida, which means it was cut up into pieces.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like that scene in the Batman, the Adam West Batman movie where he's trying to get rid of the bomb and he keeps going place to place. It's like, oh no, the nuns. Oh no, the baby.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Putting him in a Burger King stall. Be like, I don't know. This is not good. And then take it over, putting it in a car, rolling it through fucking like a drive through cleaning service. And you're like, it's not working.
Yeah.
No, it suddenly was several pieces. And so they went in, upon discovery of this information, detectives obtained a search warrant. As soon as they got in there, she saw the cops. She just started jamming pills in her mouth. And she started taking a bunch of pills. They had to talk to her and take her immediately to the fucking hospital because she tried to commit suicide. And then they found the deceased body. This lady's fucking mean, mean, mean. And you can look in her face, too. She looks it.
Oh, my God. She looks like the skeleton of a witch.
God, she is so... It's the hair, and she does have a kind of a witch's nose.
Oh, yeah.
And she is very... She just looks like somebody who'd... A multiple murderer.
Oh, yeah. No, according to Ducre, who I believe is one of the police officers that are involved in this, Roby attempted to cover up the crime by writing notes to family members posing as her son.
Sup, bros? It's me, Derek.
Sup, dudes? What's going on? How's it hanging? Low and to the left? Ha ha. Know how that is. So anyways, I'm alive.
This is the one that really gets me. Police said multiple homemade wooden boxes were found in her home and inside her garage. So does that mean
fucking deaths?
Does that mean that she made many attempts before she finally got the box right? And so she had been planning the death of her son for a long time? Or do each of those boxes have
a name associated?
Name. Like, it's like, did she have a box, a person for every box?
Yeah, this one's for Biden. This one's for, you know, it's like, it's all different. And this one's for Charlie Murphy. You already got him.
This is for Secretary of State Blinken.
Blinken. I wonder, in my mind, first thing I think of is, well, yeah, I do have a collection of wooden boxes. And it seems my son, in his endless curiosity, has got himself trapped in one, sadly, that I must have just, and I didn't hear him yelling, and we had a pipe burst. You see, this is how you start to, and then you'd be like, how you made this idea of being like, you see how easy it is to trip into one of the boxes, and if just so happened, the lid came closed down upon, and then the hypothermia sets in at negative 10, the hypothermia sets in very quickly, mm-hmm. You know, and then she starts. You never know.
You never know. And then she just ends like that.
He Mr. Beaned his way to death.
Where do I put my boxes? Behind the wall. Where do you put your boxes?
I don't have a wall to put them behind. Honestly, a lot of times they just stay on the floor.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, or they go where they have to go. Or I open the box, take out the contents of the box, fold up the box.
That's right. And then you put it in recycling.
I actually view more of those little boxes that she's made as caskets.
Yeah, they're not boxes.
There's wooden boxes.
Yeah, but caskets are wooden boxes.
They're crates. Yeah. Because unless you're Indiana Jones, I don't know why you need multiple wooden crates inside of your home that is unoccupied. Just a bunch of wooden crates.
I think they're human-sized boxes.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, they're
definitely
crates.
Human. Yeah, homemade wooden boxes.
Yeah, like what would they be for except for you're creating a corpse farm, you know, like, or an amateur cemetery.
Yeah. Yeah, amateur cemetery. That's what it is. An unlicensed graveyard.
An unlicensed graveyard. Mm-hmm. Oh, John Wayne Gacy, always a charmer. All right, here we go. And then we got another really fucked up story. This is a good one because we all have therapists here. Some of us multiple.
Yeah.
And this, what do we know about therapists? We've said this before. Love my therapists.
Love mine.
Plural. Love them. However, they're all nuts.
Well, you don't know their inner lives.
You don't want to know your therapist's inner life.
I believe my therapist is incredibly sane.
But I,
there's much evidence to say that she is an incredibly sane, sweet, caring, kind person.
It's called presentation. But it's nice though that she does it, right? Yeah. Because again, lie to me.
Yeah.
Don't bring me in. Let's just imagine everything's fucking irie. Okay. But this guy shows that sometimes if you want to be an expert in anger management, what you got to do is be king and lord of anger. Because it's really important, because it's how else will you understand anger unless you yourself are the angriest man to ever live?
Everything about this says seeing red.
It really,
every action is just seeing red, not thinking about your actions, not thinking about the consequences, just fucking going from action to action, not thinking about who's watching you, nothing. This is just seeing red.
This is an open murder in the middle of the street by a therapist. Now, a therapist specializing in quote-unquote anger management, gun down man in street, stuffed body in car trunk. He's a 46-year-old therapist by the name of Travis McBride, looking guilty in his mugshot. He kind of does a little bit of the innocent being like,
you
think I might have messed up? But he shot a man multiple times by the name of Clinton Dorsey, who was a homeless man that apparently they got into a conflict. Now, according to witnesses, they saw Travis McBride shoot this man, empty a clip into a body.
In the middle of the street.
Middle of the street. Shoots him. He falls down. He walks up. He finishes the clip into the guy's body. And then look around like he's in a heist movie, drags the body and puts it in the trunk of his car. No. And then he's cleaning up like he tried to clean up the street.
No, no, no. First, he dragged the body into the woods.
And he's like, everybody's seeing this.
Once he gets the body out of view, then
Fuck
he
Travis.
goes,
Then, get your fucking shit to fucking together, Travis. Then, you're a doctor.
Then he goes and cleans up the blood spot on the pavement. Ah, then he goes
everywhere.
Back. Then he goes back to the woods and puts it in his truck in front of every single action has multiple witnesses.
Yes, they're all watching.
Seeing red.
They're literally all watching him go do this stuff. And so he says that the man threatened his dogs, which I understand.
Okay. I'm very protective of Georgie. Very protective.
I'm not going to empty a clip into you, though.
Nope.
You know, not just for saying it.
No.
You know, and just the threat. You know what I mean? What are you going to do? You know?
Now, even if, like, you hurt my dog, I'm not going to kill you.
I'll beat the fuck out of you.
Yeah, I will physically harm you, but yeah. I'm not going to kill a man.
It's
over
just
a dog.
So she came.
I'm not John Wick.
He's not. He's not.
I'm
but
not.
He's got the fucking body for it.
I do. I've been working out.
Now, these guys came. The woman, a witness, who's scared of McBride, said that McBride had come to her home of 7 or 8 the previous night looking for this man, Clint Dorsey, who she described as a well-known homeless man who lived in the woods across the street from her house. Now, McBride told the woman that Dorsey had done something to harm his dogs. But the thing is that she saw him. He was packing then. And then the next day, when she saw him shoot 8 to 9 shots into a body, she got really, really scared. And so she immediately called the police, saying that this man has gone. And she not only was he trying to hose the ground down, I guess grabbing a hose out of a front yard of another house, started closing the ground down. He then was digging around looking for the shell casings. This is a long time.
Yeah.
To open, I mean openly. You might as well have sent a Zoom invite to your murder, where everybody is watching from their homes as you're like, it's goddamn shell casing. You know, these 9mm shells are smaller than you think. You know, like people going through. He said that he dumped a bunch of shit into a nearby car wash. And it was just like the fact that he dumped them in the truck and then just parked the truck and it's like, woosa. You know what I mean? Like he sits inside his truck. We're like, okay, Travis, we might have gone a little farther. But now what we're going to do here is, remember, the present is a gift. That's what's called the present. We need to really think about how our goals are need to be aligned with our actions. And how did murdering that homeless man affect us today? What we want to do is, number one, obviously made us late for several of our appointments. And number two,
make amends.
I gotta go make amends. So let me go to the trunk. I'm sorry, Clint. I'm sorry, but he dumped him in there and then they just found it in there.
Well, he dumped him in there and he just parked it in the car wash parking lot and left the car. And then police very quickly tracked down the car and opened up the trunk. It's like, there's the guy.
Very much a dead man.
They're very much a dead man in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Nissan hatchback.
Yeah.
Great commercial for that. But that is, it's a fucked up story.
Yep.
Again, you just never know. And I love the fact that they're all like his areas of expertise.
Yeah.
Were PTSD, anger management, and depression.
Yep.
According to his practice's website, which is still up. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Very much so.
Starting Point Mental Health.
Ooh, great
LLC.
Service. Yeah, people love it. Oh, wow.
Travis has been able to help you. Okay, yeah, wow.
Behind every successful woman is herself. That's one of the signs.
That's nice.
It's one of these.
An increase in self-awareness is a major step towards better self-management.
Being more honest and rational with yourself during a tough time may not encourage positive thinking in that moment, but will certainly encourage personal growth and more positive outcome.
It is important to have at least one loving, trustworthy, wise person in your life to give you constructive feedback. Listen to their counsel, implement, and have faith.
Hey, Barry, what if I told you, hey... Yeah, you know how I always said that whole thing about that wise person, you gotta, you know, talk about this shit you do? Yeah, all right. Oh, I fucking shot a guy in the chest 9 times in the middle of the streets. A bunch of witnesses. What should I do? Wipe them all out? Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no loose ends. You're right, thanks. Cool, I just wanted to be sure. I gotta kill this neighborhood. All right? It's the entire neighborhood. I have to kill the entire neighborhood.
Oh, he does have a really cute dog, though.
He does. Yeah. Who is now an accomplice to murder. And I feel like that dog now needs to think about what, because that dog helped nothing and no one. Look at that. That's therapy dog. I love therapy dogs.
Yeah, so
that
do
is
I.
It. That therapy dog did nothing.
Oh, that dog's, it's like the exact same size. It looks exactly like Georgie.
It's very similar in shape to Georgie, and guess what? It did nothing. It's got a little bone in its mouth, and it did nothing to help.
Georgie would have done nothing as no. well. No. She does nothing.
Dogs are, they're beautiful.
Yeah.
They're perfect creatures.
I love my dog so yes. much. Great little cuddle bear, but
that's
otherwise... useless.
They're not stopping your murder.
Absolutely.
Unless it's a
useless animal.
Fucking Rottweiler. Right? I have two dogs that are a liability.
Yeah.
Right? And I love mm-hmm. my dogs.
Yeah.
But they will slow us down.
Yeah. Georgie provides love yes. and entertainment.
Yes.
That's all. It, that's it.
I provide the safety.
Yeah.
That's bad for everyone.
As do I.
Because I'm weak.
We're not
give
weak.
In.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you would give up pretty fast.
Well, if you torture me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not going to fucking... I'm going to tell you where the studio is.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you where you live.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I'd understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'd tell you ahead of time.
Yeah, I'd call
I'd be
you
like,
up.
They're coming to you. Yeah. I'd be like, they're coming.
They're coming, grab the axe.
They're coming
the
yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's get some letters. Alaska.
Alaska.
Now, well, I wanted to get into some Alaska material. My buddy, Billy Wayne Davis, the very, very funny comedian, is currently in Alaska right now.
Great guy.
And he is talking about how, number one, it's super fucking, it's very surreal being there because of how it gets dark so early and all that kind of shit. And also, they are, it's talking about staying in the, he's staying in the hotel that we talked about.
Oh, cool. The historic.
Yeah, the historic. Yeah. And so he's going to give me a report about if he sees anything. He stayed alone in a hotel in Juneau, and he said it was scary as fuck. And one of the big notes that came back after we did our Alaska Triangle episode was talking about how the hauntings in Alaska are fucking real.
Yeah.
But a lot, these are really, a couple of these, I just want to talk about these two because these are fucking great. So number one, this is the phenomena that is across the world, is having a Jesus character show up. But I like it to show up in Alaska. So this is in the spring of 1993. My punk skater friends and I would frequent downtown to find spots to skate and hang out. This is in Alaska. It was Anchorage. One Friday, an outsider, seemingly plucked from the SoCal surf scene, rolled up to us in the vintage skateboard. Unfamiliar to our tight-knit skate community, he claimed to have skated all the way from Fairbanks, a perplexing 360-mile journey. Our skepticism grew, but we invited him to join our weekend escapades. The mystery deepened as this nomadic stranger, devoid of a backpack or visible wallet, effortlessly conjured food and cannabis, seemingly out of the thin air. Apparently the weed in Alaska is good.
Yeah, 1993, just being able to have weed all the time in 1993.
Weed burrito man, fucking I'm the fucking stoner genie. It's incredible. Around 5 or 6, he simply stated, a nonchalantly providing for every need, he became an integral part of our group from Friday afternoon into the early evenings of Sunday. And around 5 or 6 p.m., he simply stated that he had to go home, and he rolled off into the night. His abrupt departure that evening only added to the intrigue. Puzzled by his origins, my friends and I eagerly sought answers. Weeks later, encountering some other skaters from Fairbanks, we eagerly inquired about our elusive acquaintance, detailing his appearance, movements, and uncanny ability to materialize necessities. To our bewilderment, the Fairbanks skaters disclaimed any knowledge of such an individual. The enigma persisted, prompting us to dub him Skate Jesus, a mystical figure who skated into our lives, leaving behind an unsolved riddle of origin and purpose. Very interesting.
Is this upon your claim that Jesus is a cryptid?
I still think that Jesus was a creation mm-hmm. of the Roman state. Now, this is another one. This is a good one. This is a true story about how the United States military tested chemical weapons on live primates, and how in doing so, they might have inadvertently created a group of monsters that still haunt the forests of Alaska to this day. Checks out.
Yep.
For several years, I worked as a contract wildlife biologist on multiple Alaskan military installations and associated training areas. These training areas are massive in size and encompass wide swaths of mountains, forests, and swamps that are remote and undeveloped, even by Alaskan standards. Now, while I worked at one such military base near Delta Junction, it was known among land managers that a site within a restricted area of the installation had previously been used for testing chemical weapons and biological agents on primates during the Cold War. Physical case file records available in the historical office confirmed that these experiments were conducted for nearly 2 decades in the 60s and 70s. Furthermore, the decrepit monkey cages
where some of the primates have been held in captivity, were still visible near facilities where obsolete or surplus equipment had been dumped. To say these cages were grim is an understatement. And when I visited them, they looked like a cross between a high-security insane asylum and a dystopian children's playground, replete with corroded iron jungle gyms, steel anchors for chains and shackles, and clinical white paint that had long since faded and chipped under the elements. My work sometimes brought me deep into remote areas of the installation, and for one such project, I was doing grid survey work that required me to travel to a section of mountains and forest where there were no records of roads, development, or any historical other land use. A blank spot on the map, so to speak, like in where the pyramid is at the center of Alaska, that actually probably powers all. Reaching this area was long and difficult, and the forest there was thick.
Is it a dick? It forced a dick?
Fuck you. Thick, dark, and unwelcoming. It was somewhere in this area that my work partner and I hiked out of the dense brush into an unnatural clearing in the forest, and in the center of the clearing was one of the monkey cages. This cage was larger and somehow sadder. Surrounding the clearing were rotting observation platforms, long since abandoned. There was no usual sounds of birds or wildlife, and the heavy silence in the clearing was unnerving. Despite the feeling of unease we felt, we went closer to investigate the monkey cage. As we got closer, we realized that unlike the previous cages we had seen, this one had been destroyed from the inside out. The steel bars had been spread and bent outwards, even some snapped off at the base. The outer clinical rooms had been ransacked. The cinder block walls had been scratched and chipped by clawing hands. Cool. And the observation platform still had old utensils, pencils, and rotted paper in them, suggesting that the abandonment of this site was hasty and unplanned. Smaller trees in the area had been snapped, and the bark from others had been clawed and scratched in a way that was distinct from the manner in which the local wildlife will sometimes mark a tree. Furthermore, as we walked the areas, we realized this monkey cage was a central hub for a network of primitive trails that ran through the trees and the tall grass surrounding us. We quickly left and quietly kept the story to ourselves. So what happened there? We'll never know. But what I can tell you is this. Since the 1970s, Delta Junction and this area of an interior Alaska has had a lot more reported sightings of Bigfoot than any other part of Alaska or the Yukon. Many Bigfoot hunters have focused on this area as a place to search because of the mountain of reports. And to this day, there continue to be anecdotal reports and strange signs in the dark forests outside of town. Coincidence?
That's extraordinarily interesting.
Is that fun?
If true.
If true, of course.
Yeah, if but, true.
Hey, here. Everything's true.
And I looked it up. Chimps and gorillas and similar animals can survive in very cold temperatures.
Absolutely.
So it is possible.
They adapt like us.
That there's some sort of chimp
hybrid thing.
Yeah.
Who knows? I find that very interesting.
I mean, I wasn't going to say a chimp hybrid thing. I'm just going to say chimps.
Chimp hybrid. Okay. This is man chimp. I know for a fact this is a man chimp. I know I had a dream about him. And it's real. Yeah. But this is, it's interesting because there was another report that was tracking black bears along the sites of Bigfoot sightings. So there've been like, there's now a new thing to say that they do believe that maybe some of these like truly esoteric sightings could be black bears. But we've been saying this for, you don't know. We don't know. Yeah. Who knows? It could be anything. Yeah, sure. There are black bears there. So it's a Bigfoot there. Maybe. Right. So they all hang out in the same spot. It's not like one's going to be, it's not like they got different fucking neighborhoods. It's one forest. So yeah, the black bears are going to hang out where the Bigfoot hang out. Maybe the Bigfoot use the black bears as a fucking smokescreen.
You think so? You think that the Bigfoot are smart enough to hang around the black bears so people can blame Bigfoot sightings on black bears? So you think that Bigfoots are plugged into the internet and to the Bigfoot hunting community?
Yep. They got internet. Why wouldn't
and
they?
Making
they
plans,
have an internet.
And they're making plans around that.
Or they just know we hide amongst the black bear.
Ah.
We hide amongst them. I have other animals come in because they obviously are reticent to have direct communication with humankind.
Did you read Devolution by Max Brooks?
No.
It's the book that he wrote, one of his books after World War Z. It's kind of written kind of the same style as World War Z. It's written through a series of like journal entries of this woman who goes out to this like echo community.
Yes.
Where it's like this, it's this new thing, you know, a new way of living, and a bunch of different couples are living in this like small isolated community in Oregon, and there's a volcano, they get trapped, and then they get attacked by a fucking whole herd of Bigfoot.
That's awesome.
It's really good. I really enjoyed it.
I wish it was real.
It kind of went under the radar, but yeah. It wasn't as big of a hit as World War Z. But I really enjoyed it. I thought it's a great horror book.
People have a hard time imagining an angry Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
They really do. Because as far as I'm concerned, I live every day imagining Bigfoot smiling.
That's right.
That's all I do. I imagine him hanging out, laughing, and he's laughing. You know what I mean? You'd be laughing with him, hanging out, getting that sweet, sweet Bigfoot reefer.
That's right.
Because, you know, he's in fucking Oregon, man. Yeah, he's in fucking Northern California. Where the fuck? That fucking Sticky Nicky is fucking sweet as all hell.
You
got them sticky orbs, man. You got that, like, sweet, sweet, like, ooh, got that ganja, that kind bud, dog. Right out there. And then you just, like, then you love the fact, stone Bigfoot, hanging out. You know what I mean? Just don't let him near your woman. He will have sex with her.
He'll make a move.
Oh, he will. And you'll be like, well, when in Oregon, guess you got to do it, you know? And then you're gonna see that for the rest of your life. You're going to imagine, like, you know,
your
like, you think it's like a funny
consensual sex with a Bigfoot.
It's just like, and then her moans of pleasure. And you're just sitting there being like, man, this was fucking bad, dude. And then, like, she moves out there.
Yeah.
She's wearing nothing but Birkenstocks and an enter here sign out in the middle of the fucking forest. And, you know, and you did that to yourself.
Yeah.
Because you thought it would be kinky.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you fucked yourself, buddy.
That's right. I got one letter for you. This one
is... Oh, you want to? Oh, you got it?
Oh, I got this letter. I really want to take this one down because this is related to the story that we covered a couple of weeks ago. It's one of the most terrifying stories that we've covered here. This one's called Death by Sauna. I heard the story about the old couple that died from the broken heater and were cooked to death, and it reminded me of an incident that happened to me about 20 years ago. I was a house painter on a job in an affluent neighborhood. When we arrived at the large multi-million-dollar property, we were told that it was being prepped for sale by the bank, that the previous owners were an older couple that had done home improvements in preparation for retirement. They had expanded the master bedroom to include an all-tile giant shower and a new sauna big enough for several people at a time to enjoy. Looks like old people having fun.
Yeah, that's nice. Because, you get re-horny.
Yeah. It turns out they had both gone into the sauna to relax and sweat it out in their new luxurious home spa. Unfortunately, they both became overwhelmed by the heat and died and went on to be cooked for many days in the sauna. The juices cooking out and staining the tile grout, along with leaving an odor reminiscent of a rotting pork sandwich. After seeing and smelling this, I immediately called dibs on prepping and painting the outside of the house. None of the guys on the crew who got stuck working on the inside were very hungry at lunch that day.
So they were just in there the whole time?
Yeah, they'd been in there the whole time, and the smell stuck. Just wanted to let you know that it does happen, and I believe probably more than you would want.
Yeah, of course. The idea of having a home sauna is because you just become... Shumai.
Home sauna, home hot tub. A hot tub is very dangerous.
Well, you got to be careful. I think about, honestly, what happened with Matthew Perry. Yeah. Obviously, you know, he had a bunch of ketamine and then he played pickleball all day and then he had a lot of other issues.
Oh, there's many issues. But still,
you have high blood pressure. You got to be careful.
Yeah.
I was in one the other day. Not to brag.
That you once had access to a hot tub.
Yeah.
La-di-da.
I was there. All right. I know a lot of people want to be me. They want this life. But I went in there. I went in the hot tub and I did get severely dizzy.
Yeah.
It did happen to me.
Did you have high blood pressure?
Yeah. Because I thought I could do it like I used to, where I could just sit in the hot tub for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad. Don't do it.
It's bad.
Because that's how you die. Well, this is a great way to end.
This is a great way to end.
Hail Satan. We're going to have news coming up very soon with many, many things. There's many things coming.
A lot of things.
We're working on a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Go to twitch.tv/LPNTV to watch all of the shares. This week we are back with Brighter Side. It is going to be up on Wednesday tonight. It's going to be live on the channel. And also, we are coming back next week, I believe, with Goodwood.
Mm-hmm. And we're also coming back next week with No Dogs in Space live. We had to postpone it for a week because of the studio move.
But hey, we're there now. And it looks fucking nice.
It looks nice. And don't forget, if you are a Patreon subscriber, you can watch Last Stream on the Left every Tuesday at 6 p.m. PST, 9 p.m. EST, and actually interact with us through the chat.
Yeah,
and watch it as it happens. And you get to watch all the things that have to get cut before it goes on YouTube. You get it uncut.
Uncut.
Uncut and live.
European style. All right, hail Satan, fuckers.
Oh, hail Gene, yeah.
Goodbye.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.